Parker, Ghostbusters Afterlife. Spoilers at the end, guys. Spoilers at the end. Action.
Tim Marker, action.
What's going on, Alamo City Movie Talk fans? I'm Ryan D, aka Ryan 680.
And this is Lex, back at it again.
What's going on, Lex? How you doing over there, brother?
I'm doing great, man. I'm having a good time, a good day. Today was a good day, and the weekend's already here, so.
Yeah, boy. Oh, man, you couldn't say it any quicker. That's awesome, awesome. I'm loving it. I'm loving
Thanksgiving
it.
Thanksgiving's a week away.
Dude, that is insane. It's incredible how fast, ever since we came back on vacations, I feel like we've been trying to catch up, and I've been trying to catch up with movies, trying to catch up with shows, and it's just, it's tough, man. Ever since we hit that daylight savings time, it's just been crazy trying to
changes
catch up.
Things.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Yeah, man. So let's talk about this film, man. So, you know, this movie, Ghostbusters Afterlife, we're talking about this movie, this 30 years, you know. 30 years in the making from the first one, and actual sequel from the second one. So this will consider it in the trilogy. Yeah, consider that in the trilogy versus the all-girl cast, which was a reboot slash kind of making sense.
I never saw that one. So like, did it have to do anything with the old ones?
Yes, they tied in. They tied in Ernie. Ernie. Yeah, which was his granddaughter or his daughter was in the last one, but. Trust me, you do not want to watch that movie. That movie is just terrible. It's ridiculous. I'm sorry, anyone that enjoyed it. If you enjoyed it, by all means, put on comments down below why you enjoyed it. But it was just a terrible movie for me. It wasn't a fan favorite, at least for critics and all that. So, but tell me on the comments down below. But anyways, long story short, it wasn't a good movie, right? So Ghostbusters Afterlife. Let's talk about this movie, man. It was just popping. It was just beautiful. I loved it. I mean, dude, this movie is what a sequel really. I mean, this is how surprised I am, man. I'm surprised of this, how great this movie was. And I'm shocked because I got out of the movie. I was like, holy like, I had a great time. It made me it had me on an emotional roller coaster in a sense to where it was just so happy, laughing my ass off, and just having a good old splendid time. I know Angela was laughing her butt off too. I was so happy to be in a theater. The theater was packed. I was so happy to be in a theater. So happy that it was back to normal kind of deal. And I love this, man. I love the feel. Everyone was laughing in the theater. I don't know if anyone was laughing in your theater whenever they're making the jokes and everything, but everyone was laughing. It felt a normal in that sense. And it was beautiful, man. It's beautiful to be alive. It's beautiful to be a human being in this world. When it comes to these awesome, great holiday movies that are coming out, because I know this is not technically a Christmas movie or Thanksgiving movie, but it's coming out in the holiday season. This is kicking it off. What a better movie to get us started to the holiday cheer, holiday spirit, away from the drama.
You're making it sound like it's a Christmas movie, but I don't want people to get the wrong
offended
idea.
Yeah, they're gonna get offended, right? They're gonna get offended. But this is not a Christmas movie. I'm gonna say it again, but it's just, I don't know, it didn't have any Christmas elements in there, but I kind of, if it's a holiday movie, man, it's a great holiday movie. I know I'm stepping my boundaries here, but I enjoyed this movie so much. I came out laughing, ecstatic, thrilled to be able to see this movie on the big screen. So happy and grateful that we were able to come out, out of everything and just be able to just to see this movie in theaters, man. What's your reaction to this, Lex? So first reaction coming out of this movie, man. Did meet expectations and all that?
I had a lot of fun. It did meet my expectations, because with reboots and stuff, like, you usually try not to get your hopes too high. Just because reboots, they almost every time they fail to exceed the classic ones. And, you know, this one doesn't do that. You know, it's not what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
But they usually fall short, and they fall short from what you think a reboot should be. But I think this movie met expectations. Like, even if you had low expectations going into the movie, I think you're going to come out surprised. If you had reasonable expectations, which I think is what I did, because the trailers looked really good.
Yeah.
When I first heard the announcement, I thought it was going to be crappy. But then I heard about the cast, and I was like, well, with a bad script, it can still be crappy, even with the cast that they have. But I think now having it, or, you know, seeing the trailers, it gave me a lot of hope. So yeah. I went in with reasonable expectations. I wasn't thinking like, oh, it's gonna be better than the original ones or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But it brought a lot of that magic.
The elements, back. Right? Yeah, exactly.
I think it was respectful. Like, it didn't try to overstep into the lore, and it didn't. I had heard a review that said that they threw a bunch of references in your face and that got tiring. And I didn't actually, I don't think I felt that way. I think it was like just the right amount of references and homage to the old ones.
So to get critical here, I guess, in that sense, I completely agree there. It was kind of stepping. It wasn't like overstepping whatsoever. It does not do that, but it relies a lot of the old Ghostbuster references. Cause again, it relies on that ideology of like, Ghostbusters 1 happened and 2 happened. But they kept making all those. They made a lot of references. I'm not gonna lie. There is a lot of references here. I'm not gonna say it bothered me to where it really critiqued my review, because again, this is technically a sequel to the second one and the first one. You know, so this would make it a trilogy in that sense. Granted, though, I was all like, I was entertained. I was happy. I was just happy just to see Ghostbusters come to life again. I was just happy just to see the suits on. You know, it was beautiful to see the marshmallow guy. It was just awesome. So adorable. So cute. I mean, so much. But a lot of it really relied on the director, Jason Reitman, which is crazy because this guy really, he came out, and you know, this is the son. His father actually directed the first one. So, you know, father, son passed on the mantle to direct this movie. And here's the thing, man. He did a great job in this movie. I mean, to continue the legacy of Ghostbusters as far as directorial debut as with his father. But besides that, you know, let's go to the cast here, man. The cast, you know, the one that that played Phoebe, McKinley Grace, what a phenomenal actress she is. She's actually from Grapevine, Texas. Oh, crazy. Nice. Yeah, crazy little fact there. Texas, baby. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah. But Texas, it's good old Texan girl. She was born in 2006, dude. This is crazy. Damn. How young she is, bruh. Bruh, she's in a Ghostbusters movie, dude. What are we doing? I'm doing something wrong. I should have been an extra in there. Come on, Sony, hit me up, man. Hit me up. I'll die. I'll take the hit, man. I'll take a hit, you know?
No, she's awesome. She's done a lot of good stuff. I think the first thing I saw her on was in that movie with Chris Evans, Gifted.
Gifted, yes. Yes.
Yeah, 2017.
That's a good one.
I think that was one of her first movies, I think. Unless she did something when she was like super, super young. And she's awesome. I think she's funny. She carried a lot of this movie, like even just there was like a long running like dad jokes in the movie.
Speaking of dad jokes, Paul Rudd is just an awesome human being. I mean, dude, this guy doesn't age, man. I was just watching me and the wife were just watching Clueless, and I was just like, holy crap. I want to look like this guy when I'm his age. Like, he is just not aging. His characteristics just never cease to make me laugh.
Sexiest man alive.
Dude, bro. Yeah, exactly. Sexiest man alive. Dude, he is just, he's charming, man. I mean, I'm not into men, but he is charming. I mean, I'm just saying, dude, he's a charming fella. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, he's a good looking guy. I'll say that. I'm not going to say he's the sexiest man, but he's a good looking guy.
And he doesn't look old. He's not aging, but like him having a beard, like, you know, gives him a little bit of age, but kind of shaved like, you know, 3 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. Oh, man. Yeah. I can hear it kind of went out, but I can hear you now. Yeah.
Something switched on the audio. Let me do it real quick.
Yeah, you kind of went out for like a split second. Okay, there it goes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, there you go.
My AirPods have been glitching. I might have to go get them checked out on Saturday.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like the case is closed and my computer connected to them. They've just
what the heck?
Yeah, they've been a little glitchy. Okay. So I'm gonna get them taken care of.
Oh, okay, gotcha. So anyways, what do you call it? Oh, what was I talking about? Crap, I totally forgot.
Paul Rudd.
Oh yeah, Paul Rudd. So Paul Rudd, ladies and gentlemen, he's just once again, you know, his Ant-Man, aka Ant-Man. I mean, this guy is just so great. I love his dad jokes. I love his references of just like knowing, like, you not know the 80s, man. Like, it was just funny, man. It was just great. But I mean, I'll give it all to McKinley Grace. She is just phenomenal. She really, like, bro, she's gonna need, like, she's gonna have a strong back because she carried this movie, man. She is literally, her backbone was in this movie. Like, she was in this frame like 95% of the time of this film. And I love that because you actually get to see like a nerdy girl who's going through, you know, these going through school issues of creating friendships and all that. Which is funny because we actually get another guy in here, which his name's Podcaster, which is so crazy. And I'm just like, dude, that guy's a lovable character, man. I mean, I love their characteristics towards each other. Their how they were just involved with each other as far as like throwing jokes towards each other, throwing the dad jokes towards each other, or just getting just on camera. The relationship between them on camera was just so great, so phenomenal. It kept me entertained throughout the whole movie, man. I mean, there was not a dull moment between both of them. I would agree there, right?
Yeah, no, I think that's true. Once again, everyone brought a level of charm to the characters, and the way that like the characters have development in here, right? Like there was a character I didn't like, which was the mom at first, but then she has character development towards the end. She comes around. Her like there were some story elements where I was like, oh, I don't buy this and that. Like I can talk about it more in the spoiler section, but I think everyone just grew a little bit and everyone had a role to play. There wasn't any like senseless characters that really didn't contribute anything. I think they kept it close and neat where everyone just did something and it progressed the story. And then the visual effects were good as well. Like I really liked that in the movie. There were some elements that were practical. Then you could tell they're practical right away. And then when they did do CGI and stuff, I don't think it over distracted. It was very, I don't want to say subtle, but like, because I mean, there's clearly CGI, but it's not like a Michael Bay movie or anything like that where you have a ton of explosions and tons of distractions. So I think this movie did a really good job at like, you know, it takes place in a small town. So it's like, it's almost like the stakes were high, but the destruction that happened and things like that, they kept it small. So it that was a good choice. Didn't want to like overwhelm the
viewers. And this film does take it once again, you know, you already said it already, this film takes in a small town, a post-apocalyptic ghost encounter that's about to happen here, and it's crazy because it's cool how the same writing could still be used 30 years later and still have a great story arc and still create that same charisma in that sense. But again, though, I would say as far as tone goes, it's not the same as the original Ghostbusters is. It's not. It's a different tone here. I know everyone's referencing the Stranger Things vibes. I would kind of see that a little bit, but I would see more like for me as a, you know, as a viewer, I really enjoyed this as far as just like, you know, just kids coming together and just almost like not necessarily it, but it's but you know, like something of them coming together and everything. There's just a few issues I had in this movie, which I'm going to address, which was the brother, which is crazy because, you know, speaking of Stranger Things, right? Finn Wolfhard, he is aging. Like, I didn't realize how old he is now. Like, I mean, it's weird because we saw him, you know, Stranger Things, and over the years, obviously, they grow up just like us. And it's just crazy how time flies by, man.
Stranger Things is taking forever to like shoot the next season. So it's like, dude, these guys have like beards now, and like, how are you gonna explain that it's only that they're still 15?
They could speed up. They could be like, oh, 2 years later, boom.
Well, that's what they've been doing, and yeah. I think that's how they've been addressing it. But at one point, it gets ridiculous. Like, at one point, you have to.
They're gonna get beards.
Like, I don't know if you've seen.
Yeah.
The hold on, let me see, I forget which kid it was. Stranger Things, the cast. I saw, Caleb McLaughlin.
Yeah, McLaughlin. Yeah, Caleb. Yeah.
He has a beard. Yeah, he has like a full mustache and all that stuff. Like I saw him in an interview. This interview was from like a year ago. So like imagine even now. I'm pretty sure most of Stranger Things season 4 is shot already. I think it's been shot for a while, but
yeah.
Still, like it's just like you can't. That's what I fear with like the Shazam kits as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I recently saw one of the cast members in there. He just looks like a grown man now. So I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how they're gonna do it.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you, man, they got to film these movies real quick. So you know, and besides all that, it's crazy how it felt like a movie of its own. Obviously it's a trilogy, this completes that trilogy, but also it kind of leaves you like open-ended in that sense, you know. And it doesn't leave you like it just leaves you, this is a one, it doesn't really tell you this is a one and done movie, but it feels like it. But
did you stay
for yes, the yeah. So there's actually two after credit scenes, ladies and gentlemen out there. So we'll go on depth on them on the spoilers section, which we're going to talk about very shortly. Was this the film that we needed, Lex?
Yeah, I think so. I think this gives me hope in other franchises during reboots.
Hopefully it doesn't take 30 years, though.
No, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, honestly, some of them can take 30 years because, like, then you just don't want to ride the horse and keep doing it. Yeah. Keep doing it. Like, I hate the ones that reboot a movie, like, only 5 years after the original one. Like, I hate that. With the exception of Batman, and, you know, Batman's done it and it's fine.
Yeah.
I forgive Batman for it. But with classic 80s, 90s movies and stuff like that, I'm okay if it takes that long. But yeah, it gives me hope. It gives me hope. And, you know, this was a special case because the director is the son of the OG director. So he probably grew up truly understanding these characters and even just picking the brain of his dad. Like, what would be the story you tell next and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. But he did it in his own way. So I think that's a formula for success. However, I do hope that studios perhaps can put a good team together for other reboots to take place. As someone who's been tired of reboots before, I think this gives me hope for sure.
Definitely, man. And I'm excited for this. You know, I would say this is like a sequel slash, I don't even know, because it's open-ended. We'll talk about
it. I don't think anything is signed for yet.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean,
the fact that there's after credit, one of them was just funny and the other one does kind of set up something, but
so, yeah. It was like a soft setup. It was like,
yeah, it was a soft. It could very happen, well
maybe,
end.
Maybe not, yeah. Even, yeah. But definitely there's character development here. And here's the thing that I really did love that they really emphasized on was really Spangler's character, really being a nerd. I guess back then, and they talked about it a lot in the Netflix series, back then it was very cruel to be a nerd, but, you know, in the 80s, and, you know, it was different time. And now it's like,
it's kind of cool again though.
Yeah, yeah, like, it's awesome. Like, it's effing badass to be a nerd right now. I mean, Star Wars and Lord of the Rings, it's weird because it's almost nostalgia of just everyone enjoys it. Everyone enjoys a certain character.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's so amazing how it doesn't matter if you're a jock, it doesn't matter if you're like, you're gonna like a certain character in these movies. And yeah. For me, it was, you know, they kept saying, you know, Spartans, what is your profession? You know, just one of those things that movie that stuck with us in high school, in my high school. But it just, again, I'll say it over. They really emphasize that on just, it's great and it's amazing just to be a nerd and to actually just, you know, just share that experience with different, you know, with different classmates. And I felt we got that a lot with podcast in there. And it's weird too because I really never got his full name, but his real name is Logan Kim, which is funny because it's just a totally different. So I could not have seen a Logan Kim for podcast.
Oh, so that was like, did they mention it in the movie or it's just like in?
No, he's just podcast. That's his name. Yeah, yeah. He doesn't really have an official. That's his character name. So I was all like, that was kind of weird. I thought it would be a different, I thought that was just like his nickname, like how mine is, you know. But all bets aside, though, I enjoyed this movie. Great pace for Ghostbuster fans out there, guys. I really enjoyed it. The climax of this movie was so done very well. It was a Ghostbusters themed. I loved it. It was very nostalgic towards the original film and towards the original Ghostbusters as well. Obviously, it's in the cast already. We knew it in the trailer. Bill Murray, they're all back. Dan Aykroyd, they're all back for this movie. And it was a great, beautiful scene. And also, guys, this it's been out there already for reviews and everything. People are seeing it. And it's not a spoiler in that sense, but they do give a great, I would say a really good, almost, you know, I almost shed a tear there for Spengler, man. And it was just beautiful. It was great to see. We're not going to emphasize exactly what it was because we're not going to spoil that for you, but they do give a memorabilia for him and it's just beautiful. It's amazing. And I love that. I felt like that was in tune with the film. It was at the right place at the right time. Unexpected, because I really didn't see it coming until you kind of glance. You're like, oh wait, what is that? And then boom, you see it, which was beautifully done, right? Great job, Sony. Great job. Great job, guys. I can't wait to see Spider-Man. Hopefully that's good too. Hopefully if they were able to keep this under wraps, hopefully they could do. And Sony got two big hits with this one and Spider-Man coming out next month. So hopefully they, good job. But Spider-Man, the trailer, I mean, people already detailed it. But anyways, we won't go into depth on that. But yes, this was the film that we deserved, Lex. Definitely, I'm excited. Ratings, Lex, when you give this 1 out of 10, 10 being the highest.
I think this was a 8.5 for me. Between 8 or 8.5. It was good. Okay. I really liked it. I think it could have been higher for sure, but you know, it played it safe to an extent. It did a lot of similarities to the original movie. The different tone helped it a lot. It helped it keep fresh, but it also, once again, it didn't try to go into a different zone just yet. So yeah, that, because it playing it safe, I think it lowers it a little bit, but it's an overall really great film. Family will enjoy it. Even if you haven't seen Ghostbusters, like, I think you would enjoy it and have a good time.
I kind of feel like you have to really watch the first one at least, because at least to understand the concept of it.
I think there's some things I would have enjoyed if I had watched the first one again, because it's been a long time since I've seen it.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So, but yeah, I think there's enough here for kids to just be fine with it, though.
So I'm gonna do you one better, man. And this is crazy because I don't think this has ever happened in our movie reviews. You know that I'm higher than you. That's crazy.
It happened once. That's crazy. You mentioned it, but okay. I forget what it was. It was like a month ago or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm going to give it a solid 9, man. I had a great time. Again, though, it could have been just, I was happy to be in, you know, in a packed house. It was it was a theater experience, and that's the beauty of it.
Wasn't packed. They actually did a social distancing thing.
Oh, which is weird. Really?
Yeah, because that theater doesn't do that. But I guess it's because it was early access, because I saw it yesterday.
So
they basically did it, like, even when I bought the tickets, I was like, why are they, like, it's only like every two seats that they're available. Which was, once again, weird, because this theater doesn't do that for other movies. But I guess, like, for early access, they were like, oh well, only some people get to see it. I don't know.
I got you. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's
people clap. Sorry to interrupt, but people clapped, people were really excited, so it was still a good movie theater experience for me.
Oh, definitely. Where did you see it at again?
Cibolo, Santikos.
Oh, okay. That's right. Yeah.
Cibolo, and once again, I've been there before, so they don't do the social distance. I mean, they haven't, but I think it was just because it was a Wednesday.
Yeah. No, I got you. So you were giving it an 8.5, correct?
8.5. It's between 8 and 8.5, but I think 8.5. I really liked it.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. I can't believe I'm higher than you, dude. That's what's crazy. Like,
I'm getting rougher, dude.
I know. Hey, dude, you would always give reviews at like freaking 10. I'm kidding. I'm sorry. Okay. It was a 9 and a 9.5, a 9.3. And I was all like, okay, I'm gonna wait for him to. He's excited to be. I'll let him sneak it in. Maybe he'll start being critique and everything. Then that's when the.
My friends made fun of me that too, like, because they say that I rate movies too highly. But I have a good time, man. So I don't know.
Yeah. No. You're good. Yeah, so Alamo City Movie Talk does recommend this movie, guys. So we do recommend this film. Sorry about that. I had to change out my camera because my camera was messing up a little bit. But yeah, definitely. Here, let me bring myself back. Okay, there we go. I'm back. Sorry about that. I was like trying to, I dropped the mic a little bit. Sorry, guys. Sorry, podcast. If you're listening to us on our podcast, and thank you for listening to us, by the way, on our podcast, because we'll be getting a little pretty good views on there. So besides all that, let's go into spoilers, guys. We're going to go into spoilers, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go. So the ghost of Spangler was just great. I loved it. I loved how they didn't have him speak.
That
was great because afraid. I was afraid though. I was so afraid. I was like, how's he gonna sound like? What are they gonna do? Like, I was just nervous. I was all like, I don't want them to disrespect. They can do
it. Yeah, no, but they did it with Tarkin in
Rogue One. Thrawn, yeah, Thrawn, yeah, yeah. I mean, Thrawn. Tarkin. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry.
They did it there and it was fine, but yeah, no, I get you. Like, I think they did a good job at paying respect. I really liked it. The CGI looked really good.
Yeah, bro, that CGI for the whole movie was just beautiful. Great. Yeah. Great.
But what I was going to say, I loved every bit of it. And it was a beautiful homage and tribute to Spangler. But it was towards the end. I mean, this happens in the end. But I guess what I'm trying to say is they made it last a little bit longer than I thought it was going to be. And then it became a little awkward that he just wasn't saying anything. If you get, like, once again, I think him not saying anything was the right choice, but they had him on camera for multiple shots where it was awkward that he just wasn't saying anything. And there was some moments of emotion where, I mean, in a natural situation, like, someone would say something. So when he would stay quiet and just have like facial gestures, once again, I think it was the right call. But when it was that long, it just felt a little awkward for me. But that's my personal, that's just my personal thing.
Yeah.
I think if it had been shorter and sweet, then you can justify why nothing was said. When it was that for that long, they still do it in a good way. But it's just like, once again, there was moments. I guess maybe if I rewatch it, I may feel different because I guess it being that long made me feel like he was going to say something. So it was awkward when he didn't.
So I'm going to disagree with you there. So yeah. I enjoyed it because we actually got to see his connection with the reason why it took so long, because they were giving the on-camera glance. In my personal opinion, again, yeah, I don't have any facts. Maybe they'll go. I'm gonna read more into it whenever they, because I like to look at the interviews of the directors and everything. But regardless, right now, personal opinion. My personal opinion of this is that I believe that they were giving each frame shot of like the granddaughter, the grandson, then his daughter. Like, they were like, I don't know if you noticed that whenever he would get up, he was with his daughter, granddaughter first.
Yeah.
And then he saw his daughter. At the very end, right? And then right before that, I think he sees the grandson too. And then he doesn't say nothing. Again, it's all not him saying a word. And then he actually sees the guys whenever they get closer. And then the guys are just staring at him, which is the Ghostbusters, you know, we know that. And they just stare at him. And it's just so beautiful how we see Dan Aykroyd. Just that like to see him, I kind of feel like that a lot of emotions were going through because they were really good friends, man. Yeah. They were really good friends. They made movies together. They brought us films that we enjoyed for the ages. National Lampoon, I mean, him himself, Harold, is just a fantastic filmmaker as far as comedy goes. He's made also Year One with Jack Black. He's made these crazy riff off funny films that are just, it's make you laugh, man. They really make you laugh. And he's just good at that comedy. And so again, though, this is my personal opinion. I feel like that's why he was on camera for so long, because they wanted to give him enough. They wanted to see the actors react to seeing him. You know what I'm saying? And they rely that so much. Again, I give him props for it. Good job, guys. Good job, Sony. Good job. And I just, I loved it. I loved every bit of it. But again, though, that's just my personal opinion of it. That's my personal thought into that process of how they did that. But I could be totally wrong. I could be totally wrong. But that's just the way I got it. It's because especially when they were doing each framework once again, and they gave everyone their own reaction to seeing him in that sense. And I kind of knew it because in the beginning, I was just like, in the beginning, we get that opening scene. And it's just like, oh, crap. And I like how they didn't really show, because that's obviously that's not him. I like how they really didn't show his face. It was all blurred out, or like it was out, not in focus. But we knew it was of him. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? We knew that. And then also I loved how like we kind of get the hints like, oh, he's there, or a ghost was there. And I kind of figured right when the chess pieces moved each time, I was like, oh, it's him. Yeah. It's got to be him. They're going to bring him as a ghost. I know it. And it just, it was just, I wanted to say it wasn't predictable. It was a good, I would say in a sense, it was a good good predicament to be encountered.
Because like, they show him, like you said, he's kind of like a ghost in the house, and he's giving signs and guiding characters in different directions. Well,
they really don't show him yet, though, but it's that's what I'm saying. You kind of get the hints, like, hey, it's him, you know?
Well, yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, that's why his appearance at the end also was a nice little surprise, because when they did that, you get to think, like, okay, that's how they're bringing him back, in terms of he's a spirit that you can't see, and he's guiding them and doing that. It's like, oh, okay, cool. But then, like, for a moment, you think, like, oh, that's as far as they're going to go. And it's like, no, they actually show him in person, CGI'd, which is nice. So,
yeah,
it was a nice little surprise. Towards the end, I started seeing it. I was like, oh, he has to show up. But I was curious as to how they were going to do it. And so that was really cool.
Yeah, really, really done very, very well, man, I would say. Really done very well. And then also the end credit scene, the first one we get, which is crazy, you know, we get Bill Murray with Sigourney Weaver, and doing the same. It's funny because it's almost like a comedy. It's like a little dry comedy joke scene in that sense. Good old Tell walking around there. And it's funny because we actually see Bill Murray get shocked in this scene, man. I loved it.
Yeah, I like that. I was not expecting her to come back. Like, I hadn't heard of anything of her coming back, and it was nice. It was like a nice, and then I was about to leave, and then like Eileen's the one, I usually am the one that Googles if there's like after credit scene, but for this one I just thought like they weren't, and
I didn't know then, either.
Then we kind of like, we were hanging out waiting for everyone to leave. And then we see that one, and then I was about to leave because I had to use the restroom, and then Eileen tells me that there's another one, and I was like, what? So, and the other one was pretty long, too.
Yeah, yeah. So the second one we get is Ernie Hudson. His character has grown. I mean, he is moneymaker now. He is rich. It's crazy because we actually get into what he's been up to, and it kind of really of him storytelling of where he's at in his life now, and how, I guess, because Dan Aykroyd actually mentions it in the movie where he thought Ghostbusters turned into a Starbucks like that, but remember he says
the fire station.
Yeah, but yeah, yeah, but that's not true, right?
No, yeah,
that's not true, right?
What do you mean?
Like Dan Aykroyd said, like, remember he said it turned into a Starbucks? Well, it didn't really. It was a... Well,
I thought he just bought a new one. Like another fire station.
He looks so identical, dude. I mean, I don't...
Maybe. I mean, he said, I think in the movie he said, I think it's a Starbucks now or something like that. But
yeah, but in the... A new one. But in the spoiler review, or spoiler review, in the end credit scene, he actually says... The lady, she actually says, are you still paying for it all these years? And he said, yes.
Huh.
Yeah, that's why I was all like, wait, I'm confused. Did
I thought she said you're still investing in the
building?
Yeah. And well, then I thought she meant the building where Aykroyd is at. Right now.
Well, no. So the reason why I know it's the same building is because remember at the very end, the cap, the things there, The go- so yeah. it's the same building. Mm-hmm. So Dan Aykroyd didn't know. He didn't know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he didn't know. He said, "Oh, it turned into a Starbucks." He didn't know that. He didn't know that. Ernie Hudson actually kept it this whole time. And he, yeah, because remember the thing goes off, and that's like the end credits scene there, and we actually see the Ghostbusters car come in now. Now that this, now that it's officially funded by him, I mean, I love that too, because he comes out on this beautiful scene. He does a great storytelling, and he really comes out and just says, "Even though I own this global business, I will always be a Ghostbusters." That's just great. That's beautiful movie making right there. Yeah, I enjoy that story.
And I like that. I mean, I like that they brought Annie Potts.
Yeah,
like that they brought her back, and I mean that's how the end credit scene starts. They show her talking to
Spengler,
and you know this like. Just I mean, I think people knew it was her when, because she showed up like in the middle of the movie,
in the beginning.
But, yeah, but then they kind of show what she's all about, and it seems like she was interviewing Ernie.
Yeah,
which was it was never really established if she, like, what kind of like role she was doing and stuff like that, or job. I would say like a real time job, but. It was nice. It was nice that they had that conversation. And now that you're saying what you mentioned, I think it's...
It makes sense now,
It makes more sense now. Yeah, because at first I was confused. I was like, oh, I guess he bought another one. And then
The machine. One. Yeah, that's Spengler. They didn't know... Remember, he was a scientist. So, like, it's not like Ernie didn't know anything about that. He was just trying to understand. He was always asking questions when he first got hired on. So that's what I'm saying. To get technical here... I feel like he was paying for the thing that holds all these years. And I guess the guys thought that it went out of business, or that, you know, that it turned to a Starbucks or whatever. But yeah, man, all, you know, but besides all this stuff that's happened, I mean, it's just crazy story lore here. And I love that, because it's going to really, it kind of leaves us in an open-ended question. Where does Ghostbusters go from here? I mean, do you really rely on the kids still? Is he going to bring in new people? I mean, are they, it's tough, man, because you can't really, if you rely on the kids, then you're going to have to wait till they become adults in that sense. Or like,
well, they also think about it like that, because the station and everything, and even the way the movie really ended before the after credit scene, it showed like the car heading to New York, right?
Yeah.
So, and because of the station being there again, I don't think they would. Story-wise, I don't think they'd be able to justify all the kids coming back, all going to New York.
Yeah.
Especially because even like Finn Wolfhard's girlfriend in the movie, or like in love interest, she even says like, I don't know if I'll get out of this town or whatever. Like, I don't know. New York is kind of steep of a change for all of them to move. Like, and even the professor,
which played Lucky. Rad,
Lucky?
Yeah.
That's her name?
Yeah, the love interest, it was okay. Her name was Lucky. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't know why I don't remember any names.
You're good.
Except like Paul Rudd's character, Gary.
Gary, oh my God, that's just a simple weird name. I mean, it was just a simple name, man, Gary.
But so yeah, so I don't know. I don't know if they can, if story-wise they can justify like moving them all to New York, unless it's like Ernie calls them up and is like, hey, I need you guys for this one thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe. I don't know. We won't know how it can go. It can also be, it's also left open-ended to where maybe like even just new characters can be introduced and take over the mantle. But I don't know. We'll have to see.
Definitely. We got to see exactly what's up. We have to see and figure out what is really going to happen here, you know, in the future for Ghostbusters film. But I would say this is a great, this was a great start to it. If they are going to try to do a franchise here, we don't know. I mean, we can only speculate here at this moment, but I am excited what's to come. Hopefully they get the same people, at least the same director, the same story.
Yeah.
If they decide to do another one again, though, are you happy? What if they stop making, I don't think they will, but what if they decide to be like, hey, Sony's like, we're not going to make another Ghostbusters movie for a while. So this is it. Are you going to be okay with that?
I'm okay with it. I don't think I'd be like, no, like they can't do that, I'm a riot. Like, I don't think it's that big of a deal. I mean, it'd be cool if they let it rest for a little bit and see what direction they want to, as long as they can tell a good story. Like, yeah, as long as it takes them, that's fine. But I think this can carry it. I just, like, if need be, like, maybe just take it one at a time and don't sign, like, a whole trilogy. Like, just do one at a time and see how it plays out.
Exactly. Go from there. Exactly. Because this is a franchise that's, like, really, it's very, it feels like a franchise, but it's not, because it's just, the numbers are going to show this weekend. I bet you money it's going to make a lot of money, because, you know, with the past films, Shang-Chi, that no one's heard of that movie at all, or any of that character that much at all, and that movie made success. Knowing that this is going to get people that are, like, a lot older, 30 years in the making, and just, I feel like this is really going to shape the form and to get their butts back in the seats in the theaters. But definitely, yeah, it's gonna make people go to the theaters for sure. But yeah, I'm excited for what's to come, guys. Any final thoughts, Lex?
No, it's just a really good movie. It's a good family time.
Yes.
I think you guys should go watch the movie.
Definitely, guys. If you're a Movie Talk fan, if you're a movie fan in general, be sure to check this movie out, guys. Once again, if you have not already, hit that subscribe button. Thank you for listening to us on our podcast form or on our YouTube video. And we'll, knowing that we came back from vacation, what we started to kick off more episodes, guys, here. And in holiday season, holiday episodes are coming out too. Maybe we'll do best Christmas movies, actual Christmas movies. Maybe me and Lex will actually do one or something like that. We'll do a special YouTube video for that, ranking, or at least our top five best Christmas movies of our lives. So even though I don't celebrate Christmas
all time.
Yeah, well, like, yeah, It's a Wonderful Life. Is that what you said?
I was kidding. No, I said all time.
All time. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, all time, guys. But once again, thank you so much for watching. As always, I'm your host, Ryan D, aka Ryan 680.
And this was Lex. Thank you very much, guys. Y'all have a great one.
Have a good one, guys. Check y'all later.